Let us continue. Father, we thank you, God, for your presence this afternoon, or this morning, and to be amongst your people, where, as you said, for where two or three come together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So, Lord, thank you for your presence. Also that we have been united with you, enthroned in the heavenlies, before your holy of holy. Indeed, Lord, we are always before your presence. So thank you, Lord, in the light of your presence, we desire to fear you and also love you. And also to worship you this morning, to offer our lives as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you. So Lord, we ask you to bless this time of proclamation of your word and hearing of your word. Would your Holy Spirit guide our time. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, please be seated. Okay, we have a coronavirus survivor here today. Our first coronavirus infected member now have healed, and it's been 2 weeks since you got well. 3 weeks. Okay, I guess she's safe, right? Negative on Wednesday. Okay, well, we welcome you back. And let's pray for protection, but even if we do get infected, do not fear. The Lord is with and it was instructed to be observed as a perpetual covenant, seventh day rest like God has rested, and to keep it holy. And it's a sign between God and the Israelites to all generations. Then he describes himself as the Lord who sanctifies. But in Isaiah 58, gives a little more description of what Sabbath is. And he says, because of Sabbath, you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it desisting from your own way. That's number one. Desisting from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word. Three things. So it doesn't necessarily have much to do with a physical rest, but it's more of a somehow spiritual related. I know that we commonly think seventh day rest is a physical rest. And that's what the Jewish people cited on, more physical rest. And actually, God didn't need rest after he designed the universe, right? God is unlimited in his strength. He needed not rest. But the rest of the seventh day, I believe, is something he did for the purpose. Like, it's like a physical rest, but for God, it's not a physical rest. Is ceasing from the sixth day of work. So for the Israelites, God instituted this. More because they were committed to their own ways, their own pleasure, speaking their own words. In fact, if we look at the first part right here, Sabbath rest in the book of Hebrews. So we looked at how in the New Testament, Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, and he invites his people to come and find rest for our souls. But there's a further description of the Sabbath rest described in the book of Hebrews. And I think this actually clarifies a lot of things. And we're going to go not only chapter 4, what we read, but we're going to reflect on chapter 3 because that's where it starts. Chapter 3 says in Hebrews 3, 7 through 11, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoked me in the days of trial. in the desert, where your father tried me by testing me, saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go straight in their heart and they did not know my ways. As I swore in that my wrath, they should not enter my rest. So this rest is also talking about, you know, Sabbath rest. It's not a seventh day necessarily description of a seventh day, but it's a Sabbath rest of God. God's Sabbath rest. And we understand it a little better if we realize when the Sabbath was instituted. In Genesis, God created the universe for 6 days and he rested on the seventh. Okay, that was the kind of the seventh day rest that God wanted to bring in for the sake of his creation, his people. He probably foreseen what could happen. But you know, Abraham didn't have a Sabbath instruction. He became righteous by faith. So Abraham is known in the book of Romans and also in Genesis as someone who became righteous by faith. He entered into an eternal blessing relationship with God, eternal blessing of heaven. You know, land of Canaan is a symbol of eternal life. So for Abraham, he wasn't required to keep the Sabbath. I'm sure he knew that God rested on the seventh day, and they might have taken the seventh day to rest, but it wasn't instructed that they should do that. It's something God did, so maybe they kept it. Isaac, there was no instruction about the Sabbath. Jacob, there's no instruction about the Sabbath in his lifetime. Well, I'm sure he was alive when his sons were alive. So then, when was the Sabbath instituted? Is essentially with the giving. It was for the Israelites, having been taken out of Egypt, and now they're going through the desert. And when God provided manna, he said, on the seventh day, don't gather. On the sixth day, gather twice as much. So here's the beginning of a Sabbath. Describe. And then he gives in Exodus chapter 16 the Ten Commandment. And in the Ten Commandment, it says, you shall keep my Sabbath holy. So there's a mentioning of Sabbath. And then comes here in the Exodus 31 when he describes himself as the Jehovah Mekodeshkim, God who sanctifies. He reminds them of the covenant that he has with his people. So essentially, really, the instituting of the Sabbath was because of their sins in the wilderness. It was not to take necessarily, okay, seventh day, God rested, you should rest physically. Actually, physically, you know, back in those days, they didn't have electricity. So what did they do? When the sun went down, they had a little bit of fire, perhaps, but then they had to sleep. So they slept plenty, I'm sure, from, you know, sundown to sunrise. And depending on how hard they worked. And so you could be well rested through the weekdays, and you can get some more rest, maybe just if they did hard work, maybe lesser hard work. Yeah, that could be some physical thing. But actually, it's because of the hardness of their heart, how they provoke God in the desert. You know, in the days of trial in the wilderness, fathers tried me by testing me and saw my work for 40 years. They saw what God did. And yet they went astray in their hearts. They did not know God's way. Therefore, God said, they will not enter my rest. So it goes on in Hebrews chapter 3:12. Take care, brethren, that there there not be in any one of you evil and unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. So there's just repeatedly sinning in the desert before God. And hardening of heart and unbelieving, evil and unbelieving heart that caused them to fall away from God. And they did not know God's way. And it says, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Encourage one another day after day, as long as it's called today. Every day, every day, every day. It goes on in Hebrews 3, 14 through 19. For as we have been partaker of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance, so now this is talking to the people of the book of Hebrews who are actually committing apostasy. They're turning back to Judaism. As we become partaker of Christ, so they have become partaker of Christ, hold fast to the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. The assurance you had from the beginning in Christ, hold it on to the end. They are about to commit apostasy. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoked me in the desert. For who provoked me when? So who provoked me, him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses, those Israelites? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? So, still talking about rest, God's Sabbath rest. They will not enter his rest. But to those who were disobedient, who will not enter the rest. So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. So something to do with hardness of heart, disobedience, and unbelief that kept them from entering into the rest. So chapter 4 talks about, it differentiates now God's seventh-day rest and the spiritual rest. This is talking about the spiritual rest. That really what the seventh-day rest is talking about is a spiritual rest. That's the main thing. Perhaps there could be some part of physical rest, but that's not the main thing. It's a spiritual rest. Okay, let's see. Jeremy, why don't you read that for us? I'm kind of boring when I'm reading, so let's have other people read. Go ahead. Yeah.
4:1-5. Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed entered that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest.
So God talked about seventh day rest, where he rested from all the works. And there's, you know, command of keeping the Sabbath day holy. But it's not necessarily talking about that. It's about entering his ultimate rest to be in fellowship with God, and in fact, to enter into eternal rest as well. So, next part. Go ahead, Jack, you could read that one.
Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter it because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long time, just as has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience.
So verse 9, it says, so there remains a Sabbath rest for people of God. So this is apparently this expression Sabbath rest here is the only time it's used in the New Testament to describe the real Sabbath. Not the Old Testament seventh day Sabbath, but the real spiritual Sabbath. So it's a Sabbath rest of God for his people. It's beyond the seventh day rest. Again, seventh day rest is more to do with Israelites. You know what they did? It says in the end of Exodus that when they rose to eat and drink. They sat to eat and drink and they rose to play. So Israelites were not only testing God through the unbelief and disobedience and, you know, remembering how he works. You know, they were committed to indulging themselves, gratifying their pleasures. They sit down to eat and drink and then rise to play. So because the Israelites are so far off of God's calling for their lives, God said, okay, this Sabbath day, one day, I want you to cease from all that you're doing, not only work, but even other stuff, just like it's described in Isaiah 58. And come and worship me, acknowledge me, and love God and love others. You know, the focus on believing and trusting and worshiping God. So it remained that some to enter it, those who formerly had goodness preached to them, failed to enter because of their disobedience. So even if they kept the Sabbath, it's not the keeping of the Sabbath law that leads them into true rest. Because with disobedience, you can't enter his fellowship, eternal rest. So to differentiate this, he says, again, he fixes a certain day. God fixes. God says the certain day. Today, saying through David, after so long, after just has been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So David is the one who said it. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. It's for the Sabbath rest. David is saying that to enter his Sabbath rest, you need to not harden your heart. Listen to his voice. That's way after the seventh day rest in Genesis or in Exodus. So this is talking about an eternal rest, a relational rest that we come into the Lord. If we do not fall into unbelief, evil unbelief, hardness of heart and disobedience. So today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So for if Joshua had given him rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So if Joshua, taking the Israelites into the land of Canaan, also given them rest, you know, David doesn't need to talk about another Sabbath rest. So it's just saying that the Sabbath rest for the people of God is not about the seventh day rest physically, nor entering into Canaan, because, you know, those people who did enter into Canaan, they fell into sin as well. Not only in the desert did they sin, after they went into Canaan, they sinned again. They fell into same evil unbelief, hardness of heart, and disobedience. So this Sabbath rest in verse 9 in Hebrews 4, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, is the spiritual rest. What the seventh day Sabbath symbolized, not to pursue your own desires and pleasures and saying things on your own, you know, sitting down to eat and drink and rising to play, spending all 6 days on yourself. Commit this one day to believe in God, trust God, to obey God. So it was more of a invitation to return to God, return to God. So anyway, let me bring that together. So that is the teaching of the spiritual Sabbath rest that the author of Hebrews, there's a debate whether it's Paul or somebody else, but we'll just say the author. So, but what it points to, however, it points to Jesus still is the author of Sabbath, because it's through this Sabbath rest Jesus wants to sanctify us. Jesus is the sanctifier. So the next point is Jesus, our Lord, who sanctifies, Jehovah Mekodeshkim, is Jesus. And this book of Hebrew actually is describing how he does it. You know, the Hebrew talks about how Jesus is better than a lot of things. Jesus is better than angels. Is that right? Jesus is better than Moses. As Moses is the servant of the house, but Jesus is the builder of the house. Jesus is the mediator of the better covenant. Better covenant than the law. So Ten Commandment actually falls into the law. Jesus is better. Even Sabbath of the Old Testament is part of the law, but Jesus leads to a better Sabbath, the spiritual Sabbath. So I just wanted to give you quickly, because I have that much time, so how does Jesus sanctify us according to the book of Hebrews and guide us into the Sabbath to sanctify? Okay, so go ahead. Let's continue on. Steph, since you're here, I want to give you the honor of reading one. So why don't you read the first one? So how does Jesus sanctify us as Jehovah Mekodeshkim?
By daily hearing the voice of the Spirit to renounce any hardened heart, unbelieving heart, disobedience, and diligently entering his rest.
Go ahead, read.
Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. Take care, brother, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience.
But the point here first is, Jesus does it by calling us to daily hear the voice of the Spirit. Daily hear. It says here, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit said, Holy Spirit is the one who said, today, if you hear his voice, if you hear the voice of God, Christ, do not harden your heart. You know, the Holy Spirit only reveals what? Things of Christ in John 16:13, right? So Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, he speaks to us. So by daily hearing the voice of the Spirit, to do what? To renounce any hardened hearts, unbelieving heart, disobedience, because that does not allow us to enter into Sabbath rest. And the point here is, it says, today if you hear his voice. As long as it is today. What is it today? Today is today. When we come to tomorrow, tomorrow is a today. Day after that is another today. So every day, Sabbath means every day listening to the voice of the Spirit. The New Testament Sabbath rest is every day coming to hear the Spirit and therefore renouncing my hardened heart, unbelieving heart, disobedient heart, but to diligently enter his rest by softening with a soft heart, by believing heart with obedience. The very opposite things. It says there, therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest. So hearing the voice of the Lord daily is and renouncing the hardened, unbelieving, disobedient heart, but to be diligently entering the rest by doing the opposite, obeying soft with a soft heart, believing instead of unbelieving. That's what the Israelites did. So the seventh day rest for the Israelite is to do something different from the sixth day of hardened heart, unbelief, and disobedience. For that Sabbath, there, keep it holy and obey God. Worship God. Because that will lead to an eternal relationship with God, eternal rest. So the Hebrews author is saying, even Jesus, the Sabbath rest Jesus brings is better than the Old Testament Sabbath. Secondly, okay, Elis, go ahead and read that one. Second one, yeah.
By daily letting the word of God uncover hidden things and sanctify. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of all joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him. But whom we have to do? Hebrews 4, 12, 13.
Okay, that's fine. So, interestingly, after chapter 3 and chapter 4 of defining what Sabbath rest is, is to move away from hardened heart, unbelieving heart, disobedient heart, but to enter into diligently into his rest. After that, chapter 4, it continues on with, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as dividing soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intention of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open, laid bare to the eyes of him who have to do it. So after describing, you know, about the Sabbath rest to these Hebrews who are kind of like committing apostasy, they're turning away from, they believe Christ and they're turning away. And he's saying, the word of God is living and active. It's like a two-edged sword where, you know, it pierces in any direction. And why is this Jesus? Because, you know, in the book of Revelation, you know, Jesus is described as someone riding on a white horse. And then out of his mouth is what? Swords come out of his. He's also called the word of God in the Revelation 16. So Jesus is the word of God, as we know in John 1. The word of God in Revelation, from whose mouth comes out double-edged swords. So Jesus is the one who sanctifies through his own word, his word. So by Christ's word, active, sharper than double-edged sword, is piercing as far as dividing soul and spirits. Dividing soul. Soul is mind, will, and intellect. Spirit has to do with heart, genuineness of the heart. The word of God could pierce through that, and it really penetrates our real motivation, driving force. And why is this put right here? Is because some things that some of the Jewish people who turned to Christ, actually they were superficially turning to Christ and not really deeply, genuinely inside. That's why they were committing apostasy. It really didn't go deeply into their soul. But After he says, don't harden your heart when believing, disobedient, failing to enter his rest, don't be like them. But listen, remember the word of God. Let the word of God really penetrate deeply and help you to discern. Help. Let the word of God uncover the intentions of our hearts, where there is no creature hidden from his sight. So the word of God really essentially uncovers what's inside, exposes it, so that we can respond in not hardness, but soft. Not unbelief, but in belief. Not in disobedience, no, obedience. So this is how Jesus sanctified. He is the Mekodeshkim. He speaks through the Holy Spirit, and he calls us to diligently enter his rest. How do we enter his rest? By daily letting the word of God uncover hidden things of our spirit and soul, and allow it to be sanctify us. The word of God sanctifies us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth, Jesus said. The word of God is what sanctifies us. So it is worth letting the word of God sanctify us. I'm kind of enjoying, doing a grassroots ministry again, leading somebody to Christ and following up a very young new Christians. You know, three of them are sitting over there. You know what I'm doing is I'm meditating on lessons and assurance, 60 verses, 2x2, with each one of them. What does that mean? I'm meditating three times. In a week, I'm meditating two verses three times with these guys. Thanks for letting me do that. So I'm re-meditating the Word of God and reviewing it, but it's also helping me to somewhat be saturating me even more so, helping me to re-meditate. But letting the Word of God dwell in us richly is a way Jesus will sanctify us, because the Word of God dwelling in us, the truth will sanctify us. Amen? So what does it mean to enter his rest? Is listening to the voice of the Spirit, renouncing these things, but also daily letting the Word of God expose. And let the Word of God cleanse us. So doing that daily is entering into his rest. Does that make sense? Spiritual rest. Okay, next one. Go ahead. Let's come back to the front. Conrad, you could.
By daily confessing Jesus, the Son of God, our high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, as we are, yet without sin.
Okay. So this continues on after this word passage. Jesus has brought this point, and the point is, let us hold fast our confession to who Jesus Christ is. We need to continue to. You believed in Jesus Christ when you accept Christ. That's not the end of it. You need to continue to confess Jesus. I believe Jesus is Lord. He's my Savior. He's my Shepherd. He's my Redeemer. So, because in the process, somehow the Hebrews, they just said, you know, I'm just going to go back to Judaism. That seems like more things that's very clear-cut what I need to do. Instead of, you know, really having to like really process some things in deeply in their heart and facing their motivation and their disobedience, their hardness of heart. No, I just want to keep the law. You know, that's, then I don't have to deal with the real issue. I kind of think possibly professionals moving, campus leaders or, you know, graduates moving out to professional, may be causing that kind of a processing. When you're on campus, all you need to do is go to church, Thursday night meeting, Wednesday night meeting, Bible study, and do, you know, what the servant team is required to do. If I do that, then I'm okay. I feel spiritual. But then having been removed from that, you don't have something that you do to feel spiritual. Then you have to say, okay, who am I? What is my real spirituality? What is driving me? How many of you are kind of going through some of that soul searching? So sometimes having something defined to do is easier than actually really needing to process something deeply inside to see what's in there. But the Word of God wants to go in and really help us to uncover and really address our unbelief issue, address our hardened heart issue, address our disobedient issue. Really, the real issue that God wants to deal with us. Because if we don't deal with that, you can do a lot of external law thing, but you're not really entering into His rest. Does that make sense? So we need to confess that Jesus is the Son. I went to previous point. Daily confessing Jesus, the Son of God, our high priest, who sympathized with our weaknesses. So we need to make sure that, you know, inside we are genuine, confessing that Jesus indeed is, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. The Word of God who came as a man, whom the Father sent. I believe in the Son whom the Father sent. He is the high priest. Went through the heavens, but He also lived as a man. So He understands me. So I believe in Jesus, the Son of God, the high priest. You know, He understands my weaknesses. And I'm going to hold fast to my confession. Yes, Jesus is Lord. So to declare Jesus to be who He is, professing that, confessing that, believing that in my heart is from the time of being born again. You come into Christ. As a Christian, we need to continue to profess Christ, to believe in Christ that way. That's what it's saying here. Next one. Okay. Ed, why don't you read the next one?
By daily drawing near to His throne of grace. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:14-16.
So again, this is a way to enter His Sabbath rest on a daily basis. But this is the way also He's sanctifying us. This is both the way to enter into His Sabbath rest. And in entering into His Sabbath rest, He is sanctifying us as Jehovah Mekadesh. What are we to do daily? Draw near to His throne. What is that? Prayer. Daily coming to Jesus on His throne and talking to Jesus. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Some people say that, what is the kingdom that we're in? There's a kingdom of God on earth and kingdom of God in heaven. How is it differentiated? Kingdom of God on earth is a kingdom of grace. Because there's a throne. Jesus is in the throne of grace. Kingdom of God in heaven is a kingdom of glory. You know, and when everything is done and consummation of all things, and then we are, the church is lifted up. We enter into the kingdom of glory in heaven. But for now, we are before the kingdom of grace, and I mean, in the kingdom of grace, before the throne of grace. Jesus is our King. So to enter into His rest, we need to come and engage Him, draw near to Him, pray to Him, that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Similar to Matthew 11, come all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you the rest. You know, learn from me, for I am humble and gentle in heart. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So we need, Jesus wants us to come to him to find Sabbath rest for our soul in Christ. How often? Daily. So in a daily base, we want to do this as something holy, like the Old Testament people kept it holy. Seventh day was, you know, kept holy, set apart. So if we pray, we want to set that apart as something holy. I mean, I'm guilty of sometimes just praying to God in a very relaxed manner and just, Lord, have mercy on us, you know. And so just to pray that you be with me in this and that, and help me with that. So I'm sometimes maybe a little too casual. But I need to be setting apart, when I set apart a time to pray, I just need to do a little more reverent, you know, keep it holy. I heard that Danny told people to prostrate on the floor. That's another way to kind of be reverent before God. I mean, yeah, I don't think we need to all prostrate to say that we're making it holy. It's more in the heart. We're making our prayer time holy, our quiet time holy, just us declaring Jesus as the Son of God, our high priest who understands me. His name is holy. You know, so reverent, approaching it with reverence. Okay, next one. Okay, Jen.
By daily believing, we have been sanctified and have entered the most holy place through the body and blood of Christ. By this will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hebrews 10:10. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of the faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
So, we're talking about remembering the body and blood of Christ. You know, in the book of John 6, it says, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in yourselves. But if you eat my body, drink my blood, you will have eternal life. So you know what? Eating and drinking, I always say that when we have communion. Do we do communion? Is it time for communion? Okay. June 6th, 1st. Okay. All right. All right. So I say that when we have communion. What does the eating and drinking the element mean? It means I believe. People in history thought Christians are cannibals. They're promoting eating flesh of Jesus and drinking the blood of Jesus. They're cannibals. But that's symbolism. It's when you eat it, drink it, you're saying, I believe his body was the veil that was torn. I believe if I drink the wine, I believe that was the atoning sacrifice and a payment for my sin. You know? So to Jesus to sanctify us, he did it by his body and blood. So we are daily wanting to believe that too. Daily taking the bread and wine in a way. Daily believing in the body and blood of Christ. And through his body and blood, he already sanctified, past tense, sanctified us. That's justification. Justification is also part of sanctification. Justification is already sanctified. But sanctification is being sanctified. So, you know, mathematically, you know, justification is a function of faith. But that is still function of sanctification. Sanctification, parenthesis, justification, parenthesis, faith, you know? You get what I'm saying? You don't get it. Sorry. So sanctification includes justification and the process of sanctification. Guess what? Glorification includes justification, sanctification, and glorification. To be justified is to be glorified. To be sanctified is to be glorified. But ultimately, to go to Jesus is to be glorified. But this is something we need to believe on a daily basis to say, I believe in the body and blood of Jesus. We do it once a month, but this is something you could do every day. And by faith, you're entering into his rest. So, you know, basically, in doing so, drawing near with sincere heart, full assurance of faith that I've been justified. I've been justified. So even though we do sin along the way, the body and blood of Christ justified us. Justified us. So now, you know, we shouldn't cheapen grace, right? Sometimes we could sin and then just claim the body and blood of Christ. And that's just cheapening the grace. And actually, unless, I mean, there's room when we do make mistake and we sin, it covers us. But the more important thing is there areas of obedience, unbelief, and hardness of heart? That is stubbornly against the Spirit. I think just common sins, you know, thank you, Lord, forgive me, forgiven. But if there's a hardness of heart, unwillingness to yield, disobedience that is persistent, you know, that is something you can't just say, you know, the blood of Christ forgives me, even though I remain stubborn and hard and unbelieving. Does that make sense? So if you are stubborn, hard and hard, unbelieving, take care. Because if you are persistently that way for a long time, it may be something related to, maybe you have not entered into his rest. Like the Israelites in the desert, who did not enter into land of Canaan. So, but if we daily believe and say, I believe in the body and blood of Jesus Christ who sanctified me, and if I done that sincerely with a heart sprinkled clean of evil conscience and the body washed with pure water, then I don't think we will remain hardened. If we truly believe that, I don't think we will remain hardened. Nor unbelieving, nor disobedient. That makes sense? Okay, next one. Albert?
By daily assembling together, fellowshipping in Christ, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing.
So this is our common verse, right? So how does Jesus sanctify us? By assembling us together. Our body of Christ was meant to be used to be sanctifying us. You know? So even right before this, it talks about how we entered into his holy of holy. Enter into his holy of holy. So as those who are believers, who has entered into his holy of holy, we have a clear, unhindered relationship with God forever. We are still called to come together. Let us consider how we stimulate one another toward love and good deeds. Not forsaking our own assembling together as some are in the habit of, encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. So So this gathering together is no joke. If you neglect gathering together and learn commitment to community and worship together, unless you learn faithful commitment to that, you might get used to not meeting together. Miss one, miss two, missing three, it's no big deal. And when you do that, then you're away from the protection of the, you know, people of God, the believing community. And so I wouldn't be surprised some of these people who are like, committing apostasy, the Jewish people, they might have neglected meeting together with the believers. I think that's why it's verses there. Don't go back to Judaism. Don't go back to those people who tries to be saved through the law. You got to be together with those who believe, those who obey. So consider how it may spur one another. And so you know, when one of, you know, any of my guys here, young fellows, if I don't see him every week, then I just kind of get worried. What if the roaring lion gets a hold of them, you know, has a little bite like a shark, you know? Because I know I'm not doing this because out of the blue, because I've gone through many situations in past times with new people because I neglected kind of like calling them while they're during the break. They just fell into sin and they don't want to get back. I mean, some things happened in other campuses where some guy had a great ST in the V set and he was just all charged up. And then he went home to Hong Kong, came back, was convinced by their family that you shouldn't follow Jesus. He just stopped everything. His fellowship with the family whose value was for the world, you know, just kind of like won him over. So we need to stay close with the believers who profess Jesus and claim the body and blood of Christ, who value the word of God, you know, who, you know, listen to the Spirit of God. We need to stay close together in fellowship. This is how God sanctifies us and continues to lead us into his Sabbath rest. Sabbath rest. Sabbath rest is when we're in a right relationship with God. I mean, we're Christians. If you actually genuinely believe that you're saved and you're going to heaven, but then if you're not walking with God, if you're not fellowshipping with God, with his people, we're liable to do things the way I do it. The pleasures of life, you know, say things as I want. Does that make sense? Finally, yes, this is the last point. Okay, let's see. All right, Eric, you get the honor of the last one.
By daily fixing our eyes on Jesus, our forerunner, the author and perfecter of our faith. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Okay, I'm going through the whole book of Hebrews here. But really, it's really talking about chapter 3 and 4. As long as it is today, do not harden your heart. Do not be unbelieving. Do not be disobedient, but be and do this. So it goes all the way to chapter 12. And here it says, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's our forerunner, the author and perfecter of. Keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. This is the way he sanctifies us. If you take your eyes off of Jesus and you go through difficulties of life, You might just respond in a very natural, fleshly, or your old nature way. There's no rest there, right? If you go back to your old way of disobedience, there's no rest, Sabbath rest there. But if you keep your eyes on Christ, even though hardships may come in following Jesus, but because Jesus endured such hostility from sinful men, in taking after Jesus' step, he's the forerunner. He went before us. Then we will not grow weary and lose heart. You know, it's a common thing for us leaders. Is like, I just heard somebody, some sister went through this recently. And I said, huh, that's a labor struggle, laborer struggle. Was helping someone and somebody left. And then she said, oh, what good is it, you know, trying to help another person? So when you help someone and then they leave or you get hurt by them or something, then you kind of lose heart. You lose heart. If I take another person on, what if that person leaves after I give a lot of times? I mean, I went through that myself so many times. But I had to overcome that. I feel like, no, I don't want to get close to you. Stay a distance. But God rebukes me and says, all right, I'll a little closer. And then God says, no, not even that. All right, come close. You know what I'm talking about? We want to defend ourselves when we get hurt. And we want to, like, I'm not sure if I want to do this again. But in such time, you need to what? Fix your eyes on Jesus. What did Jesus do? He spent 3 years with 24/7 with 12 disciples. One right, you know, just sold him for 30, you know, coins of silver. And the rest of the disciples all ran away. And Jesus, after he resurrected, if he was like, you know, a natural man, he'd say, what good is it? I gave 3 years and they all ran away. No, but he came right back and showed commitment to them. And say, yeah, you know, I'm still here. Yeah. So if you fix your eyes on Jesus, you will do what Jesus did. He set the pace for us. And so in doing so, fixing our eyes on Jesus, it says in verse 2, he is the author and perfecter of faith. Because if we fix our eyes on Jesus, he is going to, you know, perfect our faith because he's the author of faith. So for these Jewish people who were committing apostasy, they're turning away from their original faith in Christ. You know, they took their eyes off of Jesus. Their faith shrunk. Disappeared. But these are also people who are in the desert. They saw how God worked for 40 years, but they are still hardened in their heart. They're still unbelieving. They're still disobeying. Oh my goodness. Because they were not fixing their eyes on God in the Old Testament. Here in the New Testament, they're not fixing their eyes on Jesus. Jehovah Mekodeshkim. He's the one who sanctifies if we keep our eyes fixed on him. Amen? Okay, let's review. Read it all together. 1-7. Ready? First one. Ready, go.
Daily hearing the voice of the Spirit, renounce any hardened heart, unbelieving heart, disobedience, and diligently entering his rest.
Second,
by daily letting the Word of God uncover hidden things and sanctify.
Okay, third,
by daily confessing Jesus, the Son of God, our High Priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses.
Fourth,
by daily drawing near to his throne of grace.
Fifth,
by daily believing we have been sanctified and have entered the most holy place through the body and blood of Christ.
Sixth,
by daily assembling together, fellowshipping in Christ.
Seventh,
by daily fixing our eyes on Jesus, our forerunner, the author and perfecter of our faith.
To find our Sabbath rest in Jesus, and for Him to continue to sanctify us. May we be blessed to live this way. Amen. Father, we thank you, God, for your word that's alive and active, like a double-edged sword piercing to the dividing of our soul and spirit, joints and marrow, uncovering even the deepest intentions of our hearts. And Lord God, thank you for blessing us with your word, blessing us with your Holy Spirit, blessing us with your body and blood, blessing us to know that you are the Son of God, our high priest who is able to sympathize with our weakness. Lord God, as we keep our eyes fixed on you, Jesus, that we would truly enter into your rest and be sanctified. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.